3.
Approve funding recommendations made by Children's Levy Allocation Committee for November 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thanks again, Mayor. And we're pleased today to highlight a few early childhood programs that will serve additional children and families throughout the city of Portland with new support from the Portland Children's Levy. Since 2002, the Portland Children's Levy has strengthened our community by helping thousands of children from birth through college reach their potential. And we've done this through increasing children's access to proven programs that provide positive early development, school engagement and academic achievement, high school graduation assistance, and family safety and stability services. So today we have Portland Children's Levy Assistant Director Meg McElroy here to ask Council to approve new two-year investments in early childhood programs made by the Levy's Allocation Committee. The Allocation Committee, just to remind everybody, consists of a city elected, a county elected, a citizen representing the county, a citizen representing the city, and the Portland Business Alliance appointee. So this is a $1.6 million additional investment to provide additional child care availability for working families, quality support for in-home child care providers, and two new Early Head Start classrooms and training for community education workers. I'll turn it over now to Meg McElroy.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. And thank you, Council, for having us today.
Thank
I'm going to run through a rather brief and quick overview at how we arrived at these funding recommendations, how the Allocation Committee arrived at these funding recommendations. And then we have some guests who would like to testify with you on behalf of the projects that are being considered for funding. So as Commissioner Saltzman said, funding decisions are made by a 5-member oversight committee for the Portland Children's Levy, which is part of what is required in the authorizing language that goes to voters for the Portland Children's Levy. And the 5 members of that committee include Commissioner Dan Saltzman, Chair Kafouri of the Multnomah County Commission, Julie Young, who is a city-appointed representative, Serena Stoudemire-Wesley, who's a county-appointed representative, and Mitch Horniker, who's a representative of the Portland Business Alliance. Voters have approved the Portland Children's Levy beginning in 2002. It's a 5-year local option levy that has been renewed twice, most recently in May of 2003. 95% of all revenue goes directly to fund proven programs in our community. Through the ballot language that authorizes the levy, only 5% of the revenue can be spent on administration.
Can you hold for one sec?
Yes.
Mayor, I just want to note we're an hour behind. This is scheduled for 30 minutes. Given the number of people who are going to testify, I'm guessing we'll go over that. And we have a full afternoon. So I just need to coordinate something I have scheduled over lunch. Do you intend? What's your pleasure? We will go until when?
So
we haven't actually reached our regular agenda yet.
Yeah, my suspicion is we'll lose our quorum in an hour and 10 minutes. And the only space that I see looking at our weekly schedule, which is crammed, is either meeting early on Thursday at 1 p.m. or extending beyond our current Thursday time certain item from 4 to 5. Those are the two options that seem to make the most sense looking forward.
So we'll be losing our quorum in about an hour and 10?
That's my understanding.
Okay, so we'll plan around that. And is it your initial instinct to start an hour early tomorrow?
If we could do so, I'd like to do that, but I haven't pulled the various commissioners' offices.
Thank you.
It's actually the Human Rights Commission Awards from noon to 1 out at ERCO, so I wouldn't be able to be here by 1.
Okay, well, it sounds like 4 to 5 is, assuming our hearing doesn't take more than 2 hours, and I wouldn't anticipate that it does, then I would request that we extend till 5
the day.
P.M. Yeah,
okay, so we'll start working on that. Thank you.
Okay.
Excuse the interruption.
Sorry.
No problem.
Sorry.
I understand. On that note, I'll try to make my comments brief because I think the most compelling thing that you'll hear today is from the people who have taken the time to come down and speak on behalf of the programs being considered for funding. So the levy is audited annually. All audits are available on our website, www.portlandchildrenslevy.org. The allocation committee adopted in this levy period three goals that inform its investments based on an extensive public input process, examination of local data on children's needs, and a view of national research in best practices. Levy goals include preparing children for school, supporting their success inside and outside of school, and reducing racial and ethnic disparities in children's well-being and school success. The levy makes its funding recommendations based on revenue projections from the city economist on an annual basis and invests in multi-year grants through a competitive process. During this five-year levy period, we have experienced higher than projected revenues for each year, the first 3 years of this five-year levy, and it is those funds that are being considered for investment today. The allocation committee has looked at several policy objectives in order to make decisions about how to invest the additional revenue that exceeded city economist projections, mainly looking at expanding existing grants to serve more children with the good work that's happening in those programs, and doing some new grant making, although minimizing that because of the impact on administration of running additional competitive grant processes. Most recently, new grants were made to additional after-school programs, and you all approved that sometime this summer. Prioritizing effective programs that are performing well with current levy funding. And then finally, most recently, with these additional funds, the allocation committee considered the state funding situation in this upcoming biennium, or this recent biennium, as it would impact levy-funded services, particularly in early childhood. So the recommendations that are before you today include all of these recommendations include funding that would begin November 1 through the end of the current five-year levy period, which is June 30 of 2019. It is the first three on this list are an expansion of services already being funded by the levy. So the first one is a $1.1 million expansion to the Community Child Care Initiative, which is operated by Child Care Resource and Referral of Multnomah County, which is a program based at Mount Hood Community College. It provides additional children and families with access to affordable, high-quality child care in Portland. It also provides some support for in-home child care providers to increase their quality and involvement in the state's child care quality effort, the SPARK program. The next two investments are for each of the local Head Start and early Head Start providers, Albina and Mount Hood Community College, additional investments to allow one more early Head Start classroom with each provider. Those would each serve eight additional children each year for the remainder of the funding period. And then finally, a workforce training investment to replicate some of the training work that's happened with a new program, the Community Education Worker Program, which is based on the community health worker model but focuses specifically on early learning and development with children and families, and to create a pilot training opportunity for more early childhood workforce professionals to experience the type of training opportunity that these individuals have had, with a specific focus on culturally specific communities and building capacity within those communities to do more advocacy and services for their own communities based on their own identified needs.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning. Is this per year or is this for the 5 years?
It's neither. It's from November 1st of this year through the end of the current levy, which is June 30, 2019. We're in year four of the current levy.
Thank you for reminding me. I was just doing the math between the 250 and the eight children and getting a bit worried, but that's...
Yes, understood. I should just clarify. Early Head Start services are a full-day child care service with meeting all of the federal Head Start performance standards. So it operates as a full-day child care for infants and toddlers for families with incomes at the federal poverty level.
Good program. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so unless you all have questions, I would prefer to turn it over to the folks who have come today in the interest of both your time and your agenda and also theirs.
That sounds good. Thanks, Meg.
Yep.
So now we will hear from some of the recipients of this new funding. We have some providers and a parent from the Community Child Care Initiative and a few community education workers who obtained the Community Education Worker Certification. So to start off, I'd like to invite the Community Child Care Initiative providers, Shannon Aiden and Karen Messner, along with parent Lydia Ramirez. I hope I pronounced that correctly. If you could please come up and thank you for your patience today.
No, thank you.
And welcome.
Hi.
Who wants to start?
Come
on. Okay. You'd like me to?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hi, I'm Shannon Aiden, and I run a family child care program in Southeast Portland. I've been a child care provider for 30 years. I am a 5-star Spark care provider, and work with the ERDC and the CCIP program. So just a few statistics to let you know what my program has done since the year that I've been involved with CCIP. We have 19 children in care, and of those 19 children, there's 15 families we care for, and 12 of those children receive subsidies from CCIP and ERDC. So in Southeast Portland, we're a very low-income family child care program and definitely servicing the needs of the community. So my first point is that how CCIP has stabilized these families. Since the extra cost of coverage, we've had no drop in care this year. So 15 families in care have stayed in care, providing consistency of care and continuity of care for those families and children. We've added toddler spots to our program because they've been able to meet the difference between the actual cost of care and what ERDC covers. So we have two toddlers in our program now that would not have been there before. We've also stabilized our staff. We've had no staff retention because we've been able to stabilize the care and we've had the extra income. We've applied two new staffs to our program. So we actually run a 1-to-5 ratio, which is above the state standard and meets close to our national standard, which we're really proud of. And because of that, we've also increased our payroll increase. So our staffing's between $12.50 an hour and $18.50 an hour. So overall, some really great improvements.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Very good. Thank
you. You said you're a 5-star Spark. That sounds really impressive. What is it?
So it's the QRIS Quality Rating Improvement Program that started, 4 years ago? I'm an advocate for high-quality child care, and I've pretty much, I like to say I'm a trailblazer. So I was one of the first providers in Southeast Portland to receive, or in Portland, to receive their 5-star. It means I meet a very high standard of quality. My portfolio is a stack about that high. I've documented and basically follow a very high ethic of standard, a national standard, and it exceeds our state standards for child care.
And so, what entity is it that goes through all that and decides that you are a 5-star Spark?
Oh, about a year's worth of putting together a portfolio and proving
Who is it that says
who
you
is
are?
It? Yeah. Well, Portland State has the money right now, not Portland State, but Western Oregon is overseeing this project. I couldn't give you all the specifics about...
Apply to Western Oregon to get your 5-star rating.
Absolutely. I worked with the Mount Hood Child Care Resource and Referral. Again, put all my documents into a portfolio, sent it off, got approved, had it looked at, had a class evaluation. It took about a year to get that classification and to prove our competency.
Well, thank you for your work. I mean, $12 an hour to 18 is better than it has been before, but it's still not a lot of work, a lot of pay for what you do. So thank you to all of your work.
I just wanted to say I'm a big supporter of the minimum wage going up, and I think in child care it's going to make a huge difference. And programs like this really make a big impact on what we can do and keep those staff and provide that quality.
Thank you. Would you like to go next?
My name is Lydia Ramirez. I'm a parent of CCI. I currently have 3 children enrolled in the program, an 11-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 9-month-old. I have recently been accepted onto the program because of the changes that allowed self-employed parents onto the program. Before I got any subsidy help from these resources, I did not have stable daycare. Being self-employed, My hours are absolutely, I don't have a regular schedule. I'm there from opening to close, day in and day out, and now having suitable daycare and not having to worry too much about carrying such a heavy financial burden going towards daycare, I am able to work. I am able to provide. I am a little nervous for when the programs are going to end because then I'll be picking up that other costs that right now are being gifted to me. So I am truly grateful for this because I will be successful in my business. Karen over here is my daycare provider. I've actually been able to work with her off and on for about 10 years. And this is the most consistent that I've been able to keep my kids in there. I've been able to watch her program grow. She's a Spanish immersion, has hired now two certified daycare providers, teachers, one for each of her homes. And it's amazing to see the development in my younger children just with what she's been able to help with when I'm not there, when I'm at work, trying to make ends meet for my family. So Karen could tell you a little bit more about how it's benefited her business.
Excuse me, I apologize for being late, but did you just say that there's Spanish immersion in the child care program?
It is a Spanish immersion daycare, yes.
In daycare?
Yeah. The entire daycare is, yes.
Both of my kids went through Spanish immersion through high school. I mean, one is about to go into high school, but it's a wonderful program to get in early. And then the other little secret is the kids in Spanish immersion pick up other languages so much easier.
I wish it was available for every child because I think that if you teach a second language at an early age, they are able to learn a whole lot more and even excel in our English language, just having all these different
Congratulations. The cultural enrichment. And then my son, who's in eighth grade, said that it's now a snap to pick up French because there's so many similarities.
A lot of the languages are similar. Unfortunately for my children, we didn't even get into Spanish immersion to continue. So I'm really, really hoping that my nine-month-old, who has been with Karen since 6 weeks old, will be able to get into a Spanish immersion because technically she would be considered bilingual because they only speak Spanish at her daycare. So nice. I'm hoping that she can get in because my other two didn't.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Yep. My name is Karen Messner. I've been doing choker for 13 years, and I have two certificate chokers, homes in home choker. And this program has been helping a lot. We've just been available to hire, like, two head teachers, like Lydia say, for each house, more staff. And, you know, I can see the difference. Now we have more stable kids in the daycare. They are coming, on a regular basis, like before when the parents don't can afford the whole daycare. They have to be jumping kids around with the family members to be available just to afford some of the daycare. And, you know, this program is a really good program. It's a really nice. It's helping a lot of the families. We have around 39 kids on our programs on both houses. And, you know, all the families, they can see the difference now with the head teachers. We also are participating on the SPARC program. For the Spanish network, we are the first one to send the portfolios. And we get approved. We get in 3 stars. We start with 3 stars. And we're just working on the education to go to 5 star, who is the high quality. But for us, for the Spanish speakers, we just started a program with the Sparks, and it's a really nice, and you were making a lot of improvement on our daycare and with the families we have and all the kids.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you.
And then we have, and finally, we have a few of our community education worker group. And I guess I don't have their names, but they can give us their names. Oh, I do have their names. I'm sorry.
Yep. Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning.
Tamika Branham Phillips.
Yes, sir.
Laura Peraza. Winter Rose and Amy Amir. Did I get that right? Close?
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Thank you and good morning, Commissioner Salzman, Mayor Wheeler, and City Council. My name is Tamika Brandon Phillips, and I'm a certified community health and education worker, family advocate with the Urban League of Portland. I work mainly with African-American families and others with children ranging from ages 0 to 6 years of age. What I have learned the most about the community education worker training is how to really meet families where they are at using my own life experience, popular education, and decolonization models. This was a new concept for me, and it looked very different from my 20 years' experience through traditional education, the military, and a former healthcare career. One of my many hats I wear in this role is providing home visits and parent classes using the popular education and decolonization model. Popular education can best be described as the people's education, community education, or street smarts. It is the knowledge that is passed down and is presented in many forms. We see it as music, stories, dances, traditions, and experiences are just a few examples of what popular education looks like. Decolonization allows people of color a way to view ourselves through our own lens, rather than the way we are viewed, taught, or organized by people outside our community experience who have power or privilege. Getting parents involved in the Community Education Worker Certificate Program will benefit the children, our schools, and our families within their homes. When parents are in the school, they bring home the school's expectations and culture. School homework assignments are better understood. This will help both children and parents improve their literacy and numeracy skills. Younger children are exposed to early educational norms and have a higher chance of preschool and kindergarten readiness. Older children feel more connected to their parents, and I believe school issues such as bullying and educational challenges would be better understood and better problem solved. Since the culture of children are brought to the schools through their parents, disruptive behaviors resulting from cultural and communication misunderstandings would be decreased. Helping our children stay in the classroom and out of disciplinary actions or special education classrooms that they may not need. The ripple effect when parents are given opportunity to have a career path in schools is significant. When members of our community see parents getting involved in the school system and getting a career path, word will spread. Others will get curious and want to be involved. Children will talk and share their experiences as well. Kids, parents, and the community members alike will look to more career paths in education. The excitement of being a teacher as a career path will be restored in our culture.
Thank you. Go next.
Good morning, Chamber. My name is Winter Rose, and I'm here to talk a little bit about our trainings. When talking about the CEW trainings, I can speak from my own personal experience working with the Native American community, which in itself has faced a high level of systemic intergenerational trauma. And being a service provider that has participated in numerous other trainings in my career, I can briefly touch upon what sets our trainings apart. In these trainings, when presented, they're facilitated in a way that really speaks to the participants and a lot of times can help participants really truly find their voice. The model in which information is presented not only empowers participants, but places a very strong value on people's lived experiences and the way people have or can overcome adversity. Our trainings not only inform us on important information and topics, but it gives us multiple direct and different relatable ways to convey this information to the communities in which we serve. The different approaches and strategies that we are taught in these trainings are very different than the classic Western style of delivering information and are all culturally responsive. We are also able to tailor these ways of conveying information specifically to the different communities in which we serve. I personally have been given many tools from these trainings that help me unpack some of the trauma that my community has faced and a lot of times continue to face in their daily lives. These different approaches allows participants to come up with out-of-the-box ways to convey information to different communities and really work with those communities in a way that can help those communities feel truly heard, which otherwise they may not have. It's important when moving forward with trauma and working with communities, helping them heal, that we come from a place ready to meet them where they are and really center our interactions with them in a place that not only empowers these communities, but they're truly tailored to meet the needs of different communities. And I really feel like CEW trainings do just that.
Thank you, Ms. Rose.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner Suslin. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with your name. My name is Aine Amir. I'm currently working at ERCO Africa House as a community education worker. Before this role, I used to work as a community education worker. I worked with 30 family newly arrived African parents to support and teach them about their children, growth, and brain development. In 2016, I was trained as a community education worker, and I thought this training, I was exposed to new skills, knowledge, and resources that of a greater benefit of the needs of the needs population. The program empowered me to have a better understanding of how to guide newly arrived family with their children, lead and live a better lives. The CEW program exposed me to a culturally specific model that relates to connects our families, our African families, to resource here in Portland and the state of Oregon. A case in point is me working with a child with autism and delayed speech development before the CEW training. I focused on the child brain development and well-being. But after the CEW training, I realized the mother was highly stressed and did not spend much time to talk with her child. When I focused and connect her to community resources and the child's speech, the child's speech improved greatly, and both mother and child are very happy now, and this gives me a joy and professional satisfaction as a CEW.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Just have two more people. Welcome, if you could just each give us your name. And
okay. Buenos días, señor alcalde. Buenos días, señores comisionados. Okay. Mi nombre es Laura Peraza, y yo soy una promotora de educación del aprendizaje temprano.
This is Laura, and she works at Latino Network. She's a community education worker, and she works with early childhood. And I'm Melissa McCoy. I'll be interpreting on her behalf.
Okay. Estoy aquí para hablarles acerca de todos los entrenamientos que he recibido. Y uno de los entrenamientos...
I'm here to talk to you today about all of the trainings that I have had.
Uno de los entrenamientos que me ha impactado muchísimo y que también ha sido de una herramienta muy beneficiable para las familias.
One of the trainings recently that I've had that has had the most impact and the greatest impact is
navegando en el sistema escolar.
Navigating the school systems.
Para nuestra cultura hispana es algo que no es muy común.
For our Latino community, this is not something that's very common.
Nosotros tenemos la idea de que eso empieza cuando los niños entran en la escuela.
We have the idea that this is something that begins once our children enter the school system.
Y que eso lo hacen los maestros, los directores, las instituciones.
And that this is something that the teachers, the principals, the institutions themselves do.
Tienen la obligación de hacerlo.
They have the obligation to do that.
Pero en este país nos hemos mirado que necesitamos involucrarnos en la educación de nuestros hijos.
But here in this country, we've seen that it's different and that we as parents need to be more present in our children's education.
Pero nos damos cuenta de que tenemos muchas barreras y pensamos, ¿cómo lo voy a hacer si yo no hablo inglés?
But we've noticed that we've encountered many barriers, one of them not being English. So how are we going to work with this system?
Y muchos de nosotros nunca hemos estado en una escuela.
And many of us have not been in schools.
Entonces, ¿cómo lo voy a hacer? Entonces, en este entrenamiento nos han enseñado que son los padres los que conforman el PTA.
So with this training, we've noticed that it's important to let the parents know about the PTA and how to be involved.
Y que los padres tenemos el derecho y la obligación de ser voluntarios en la escuela de nuestros hijos.
And as parents, we have the right and the obligation to be involved in our children's life and education.
Y que trabajando en conjunto con las escuelas podemos llevar a nuestros hijos al éxito académico.
And working together with the school, we can also provide academic excellence for our students.
Y en este trabajo que estoy haciendo, creando liderazgo hacia los padres de que se involucren en la educación de sus hijos, nos damos cuenta de los grandes cambios que estamos haciendo en la comunidad.
And through this work, teaching parents to be advocates and having them work with their students in their school to therefore make a change in the school.
Y nos damos cuenta de que nuestros hijos ya se están graduando.
And we've noticed now that now our children, our kids are now graduating.
Cosa que antes, en el pasado, hasta hace como 3 años, en mi vecindario, los niños iban dejando las escuelas a muy temprana edad.
Things that she's noticed within her own neighborhood school, even 3 years ago, where students were not graduating and leaving school at an earlier rate.
Entonces es por eso la gran importancia de este entrenamiento, porque de esta manera estamos enseñando a los padres, no, yo puedo llegar en la escuela, pedir un salón de clases para platicar con mi comunidad.
So that's why this work for parent advocates is so important, so that they recognize that they can go to the school and ask for a room and have a space to meet with other parents and talk.
¿Puedo pedir un intérprete?
I can ask for an interpreter.
Y que también puedo pedir una cita con el director.
And I can ask for a meeting with the principal as well.
Y que el director tiene la obligación de escucharme.
And that the principal has an obligation to listen to me.
Y puedo ir al distrito escolar a abogar por la escuela de mis hijos.
And I can go to the school district and advocate for my child's school.
Y que también la mesa directiva de los distritos son padres.
And also that the board of each school district are parents.
Y que cualquiera de nosotros podemos llegar a formar parte de esa mesa directiva.
And that anyone can become part of that, the board of the school district.
Y si no soy escuchada en el distrito, puedo llegar en el Capitolio y expresar lo que quiero, lo que necesito o lo que mis hijos necesitan tener.
And if I'm not heard at the school district board, then I know I can go to the Capitol and speak for the needs, wants of my child.
Y ya lo estamos haciendo porque nuestras familias ya están tomando ese liderazgo fuerte para abogar a nuestros hijos. Y creo que ya lo estamos viendo en las instituciones.
And that's what they're currently doing, is taking parents to the state to be able to advocate for the good of their children.
Muchísimas gracias por escucharme y feliz día.
Thank you for listening to me and have a great day.
Thank you both.
A quick question. Which school district are you in?
Estamos en Portland Public School.
Ajá. Great. Good to
estamos
hear
en Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Oh, mm-hmm. Reynolds. Right.
Ajá. Uh-huh. Y estamos en David Douglas. Huh?
So all three. That's really interesting.
Sí.
Yeah.
Ajá. Sí.
You do my heart good as being the old parent activist. I remember when I had similar trainings when my firstborn started kindergarten. I'm so happy that you're participating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that completes our testimony and ready for a vote. Oh, I guess
we should probably let. Is there any public testimony, Carla, on this
side?
No
one else signed up.
Very good. I call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your continued leadership on this, and everybody who was here today. Certainly the personal stories make it real and help us to understand why this program is so important. And with all the worries coming down from the federal government, it's good to know that Portlanders voted to tax ourselves to make these kinds of services available. And when people say, well, you know, the government wastes our property taxes, actually look at what's being done in this program, and it's an investment in this generation as well as the next generation. So thank you for your leadership on it. Thank you to Portland's taxpayers for supporting this, and I hope we'll continue to do it and expand it in the future. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, and thanks to our honored guests for sharing their testimonials today. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank our guests for being here, and thank you for your patience. And this is... You've demonstrated to us that this is money that's well invested in helping children to be safe and successful, and to help you to be good parents and to work with good parents who are doing their best to raise their families. So thank you all for all the work you do. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, we heard impressive testimony today that really gets at the human side, the human equation of the work that's done in this fund. And I also just want to point out, as having long ago served on the distribution committee as the then Multnomah County Chair, there are lots of discussions about making sure that we're prioritizing the right things, that we're investing the funds wisely, that we're keeping the administration under the 5% cap, as Commissioner Saltzman identified early on. And over the years, I've watched and have been impressed with how this program has expanded and expanded responsibly and continues to be responsive to the highest needs in the community. And so I thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for keeping this on track year after year. And I thank everybody who came in and testified. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.